Like many ordained ministers in the church, I didn't think I was going to grow up to be an Episcopal priest. That wasn't on my radar. In fact, when I was in my early 20s, I had my sights set on the Broadway stage. I wanted to perform professionally in musical theater. So when I was in college, I took some acting lessons, I took voice lessons, and I even took a few dance lessons. I wanted to be what they call in the industry a triple threat. The problem is my skills didn't seem to threaten anyone. But nonetheless, when a Broadway show would go on tour, my friends and I would load up in the car and drive to the concert hall. But being poor college students, all we could afford were the cheap seats located in the nosebleed section somewhere in the fourth or fifth balcony. And from these seats, it was extremely difficult to study our future craft because the actors look much more like ants than people. So we eventually came up with a plan to obtain better seats. First, we would purchase the cheapest seats we could find, and then we would begin to scout out empty seats on the floor close to the stage. And finally, at the conclusion of the first act, we would move up closer to the good seats. We had it all figured out. But after intermission, as we settled into our newly improved seats, I noticed an usher making his way toward us. So I quickly turned around and tried to avoid eye contact, hoping that I wouldn't be exposed for the imposter I was. Sure enough, a few moments later, I felt a tap on my back, and I heard the very words I was dreading, "Tickets, please." In today's gospel lesson, Jesus warns his listeners against doing exactly what my friends and I had invested so much of our time and energy in doing, seeking out the best seats for ourselves. After noticing a group of Pharisees jockeying for the places of honor at a dinner party, Jesus essentially pulls them aside and tells them, "When someone invites you over for a meal, don't automatically take the seat of honor, because someone more important than you might come along, forcing your host to call you out in front of everyone, asking you for your tickets, and publicly humiliating you. Instead, when you're invited, always sit at the last place, in the very back, way up in the balcony. Then when the host comes, he may say, 'Friend, come up to the front and sit in the place of honor.'" Now, on the surface, today's gospel lesson may not sound much like a parable at all, but much more like common sense, more like good practical advice on how to avoid public humiliation. But as usual, there's a lot more going on in today's text than what appears on the surface. For a first century audience, etiquette was not simply about good and polite manners, but about honor, shame, and social status. In first century Palestine, if someone was called out or publicly humiliated, he not only brought shame upon himself, but upon his entire family. In fact, few things would have been more humiliating than to have a host ask you to move to a lower position at a social function. You would have been labeled as a prideful and arrogant person, someone who did not know his or her place. And the physical act of moving lower would actually indicate the drop in your social status. Now, as we know, not a lot has changed over the years. We're no stranger to social order or social status. We also want to know where we stand, how we're doing, how we measure up. And most of us seek that sense of order by directly comparing ourselves to others. Several years ago, a friend of mine from seminary, who is an Episcopal priest in the Diocese of Mississippi, invited me to be in his wedding, which took place in the cathedral in Jackson, Mississippi. Now, I've been involved in my fair share of weddings over the years, which have included members of the clergy. But this one this one took the prize. There were over 20 clergy involved in this wedding, including the Bishop of Mississippi. And at the rehearsal dinner, as usual, we were all assigned to a specific table, and my wife, Cinnamon, and I happened to end up at the bishop's table near the front of the room. And to be honest, we weren't real excited about that because we wanted to sit with our friends. But we managed to make some small talk with the bishop and his wife, and overall, we had a nice evening. But the following morning, I was surprised to hear how many of the clergy from the Diocese of Mississippi were carefully watching me that night, asking, "Who is that guy? Why does he get to sit with the bishop when we're stuck all the way in the back?" The desire for status and position and the threat of losing it is never too far from our minds. And yet Jesus reminds us in today's gospel lesson that our status, our social positions, our achievements, none of it counts in the kingdom of God. In today's Old Testament lesson, Jeremiah chastises the Israelites for focusing on this very thing. "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of the living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water." In other words, Jeremiah accuses the Israelites of forgetting their place. Instead of remembering that God is the fountain of living water, the very source of life, the Israelites have dug out these cisterns or wells that are cracked, dried, and empty. They have forgotten what God has done for them, how he has rescued them from bondage in Egypt and given them freedom and new life. And how do they respond to God's grace? By attempting to live through their own strengths and their own efforts, by constructing and controlling these self-devised cisterns. And if we're honest with ourselves, there's something within each of us that desperately wants to be in control, to control our lives. But like the Israelites, when we forget our place, when we forget the story of our salvation, other stories rush in to fill the gap. As we know, one of these stories that pervades our culture tells us that we are nothing more than the sum total of our accomplishments and achievements, that we are nothing more than our resumes and portfolios and titles. And so we dig one cracked cistern after another, hoping to reach these goals and finally to obtain a higher position and a higher social status. I think this is why the phrase, "God helps those who help themselves," is so popular in our culture. And many times it's mistaken for Holy Scripture. But as we know, this is found nowhere in the Bible. In fact, the Bible tells us the exact opposite, doesn't it? That time and time again, God helps those who cannot help themselves. Instead, the Christian story claims that our lives and all that it takes to sustain them is a gracious gift from God. That in God alone, we live and move and have our very being. This is why throughout the Gospels, Jesus is constantly inviting people into the presence of God, especially those who think they don't deserve it, the poor, the marginalized, the outcast. And Jesus expects us to do the same today. He invites us to stop building these cracked and broken cisterns, which ultimately lead to empty and shallow lives, and instead to live into God's grace and into God's abundance by viewing others not as these people we have to compete with, but as fellow human beings created in the very image of God. So today, with God's grace, may we remember our place in God's story. May we remember the good news that we are loved not because of what we've done or because of what we've left undone, but because of who God is and what he has already done for us through Jesus Christ. Today, may we remember that before God, we are all alike. In God's kingdom, social status and position don't exist. And may we remember that no matter where we sit at God's table, we all have the best seats in the house. Amen.